from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
I am Nigel Payne.
In this episode, Nigel is going to share some insights for some research that he has been, I think you've been working on. Is that right, Nigel?
It is.
So tell us a bit more.
I will, Martin. I think it's interesting research, and it's based in Learnovate, which is a research centre in Trinity College Dublin, and I'm part of the Learnovate team, and they have a number of research projects around learning, and the one that I'm directly involved in is called Remotivate, and it's focusing on learner motivation in remote learning environments. And essentially, the project emerged out of the pandemic, where essentially, largely higher education focused, I must say, this project, but essentially, universities rushed to move everything online. And in doing this, they made lots of mistakes, and they ended up with disenchanted and disillusioned students who were paying a lot of money for very little, in essence. And therefore, the idea was to convene a research project to look at what the research tells us about student motivation, and to recommend, ultimately, it's not finished yet, to make some recommendations to the world to remotivate students and create a much more engaging learning environment around what is inevitably going to be a mixed mode experience going forward. So essentially, they really looked at motivation quite deeply. So they looked at four layers of motivation around, first of all, from the institution and the lecturer, like learning opportunities, comfort with technology, academic workload, institutional environment, and then looked at the kinds of activities that could be organized in terms of intrinsic value, costs, utility value, and attainment value, and plus the blend, how those activities will be merged together. The third layer was the environmental layer, looking at involvement, cohesiveness, satisfaction, personalization, and task orientation and task organization. And then finally, the center layer was the learner readiness. So their online working skills, their social technology familiarity, their social technology access, their efficiency for learning online, their self-directedness, and this has become a big part of the program, and their socialization, essentially. So if you combine those, and I suppose you could work outwards from the learner to the environment to the activities to the institution, rather than work inwards as I've done. And what they wanted to propose is that around those criteria, to apply a number of frames, and the two big overarching frames. One was the frame, the self-determination theory frame, and the second was to look at utility value within the environment, and apply those frames using a couple of models that would be of value. And I just,
Nigel, go ahead. And just explain utility value.
Yeah, okay. So the two basic frames, self-determination theory, which is basically focused on three psychological needs: autonomy, competence, and relatedness. Autonomy, the enthusiasm to undertake a task. Competence, the feeling of being capable. Relatedness, social engagement and belonging. That was what Daniel Pink took that research and turned it into DRIVE, where he talked about autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Yeah. It's radically the same. The second, expectancy value theory. And that's about attainment value, the importance for the student of doing well, intrinsic value, personal enjoyment, utility value, the perceived usefulness, and the cost, the cost against the other values. So those two theories were applied to those four main domains I mentioned, and they've got 24 subdomains. And what we're looking to do is apply the ISTE, which is the International Society for Technology and Education, the ISTE framework around empowered learner, digital citizen, knowledge constructor, innovative designer, computational thinker, creative communicator, and global collaborator. Apply the ISTE model to that those four domains and subdomains, and then try and measure and end up with thinking about what you can do to create a more rounded learner in order to be able to master the new learning environment. And therefore, by definition, dramatically increase motivation. So it's not simply seeing motivation as do they want to do it, but see motivation as a combination of learner readiness, environment, activities, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this is very, very interesting. No one is doing this kind of in-depth research, and it will be reporting at the end of this year. So at the moment, we're about in the middle of it all. So we've got those 24 subdomains, we've got the four domains, we've got the ISTE framework as a model for going forward. And we've got to kind of fill in the boxes, really, and suggest strategies for creating a better knowledge construction, a better innovative design, better digital citizenry, etc., more empowered learner, etc., etc. So it's nice to be involved in some almost pure research. And eventually it will be trialed by the members of the group. There are colleges, companies who want to trial it at the end, and hopefully there'll be a few outside organizations who want to trial it. But it is entirely research based, and I love kind of diving back into research. It's one of my passions, and to spend maybe a year in depth on one topic is also a treat. Doesn't happen normally. You know, you can imagine if a company says, how do we motivate people, we give you 3 weeks. This is totally different in its approach. But,
so can I just I just have one question. It sounds fascinating. I look forward to hearing more of the kind of outputs from it, but your emphasis seems to be quite a lot on what the learner has to do. But sure, one of the big criticisms of, say, higher education through COVID was that the way that the universities and the lecturers delivered any kind of learning was really subpar.
Yeah, I agree.
It was the curriculum, it was the stuff that had to be delivered and how it was delivered. There was a massive problem, not necessarily the students themselves. They were just getting really bad quality experiences from the universities.
Completely.
So, and which is why so many wanted their money back, and why, you know, I know people have had to retake a year because the learning was such poor quality and the university hasn't really done anything about it. So it's all very well having a, you know, kind of students who are more savvy and motivated to learn, but what's your research doing about the other side of that coin, which is the university itself and the ability of the teachers to teach well environments?
In that domain, it's both institution and lecturer focused. So that domain is about the instructor's attitude and beliefs, the interactions and skill of working with students, the institutional environment, the motivation of the person doing the teaching, the academic workload, and the learning opportunities that are created. So there's a whole domain that is going to make recommendations for the institution. And you're absolutely 100% right. But rather than just say it's all the institution's fault, I think that if the learner had some of the knowledge construction skills and the ability to take maybe something that is suboptimal, but turn it into something that is a powerful learning experience, maybe in conjunction with colleagues, maybe having the skills to research more widely than the content being delivered by the university, you can actually build something better than it ended up. And there was very much, a deficit in the institution, but the institution did not try to overcome the clear knowledge, skill, accumulation, deficit skills in the students either. So it's definitely working on the learner, the institution, the environment, and the quality of the activities that are put into play. And that's what I like about it. It's saying it's actually quite complex and holistic. It's not blame the institution or even worse, blame the learner because they're all lazy wotsits. And you saw a lot of both of those things with people saying the institutions are abject, you know, they failed their students. And also people turning and saying, well, if the students got off their backsides and did a bit more. And it's both of those responses are very, very naive. But there's also a difference between what the lecturer, the teacher has to do, but also what the institution has to do. And it's that balance is really, really important, I think, because there is definitely some obligations to the institution in this. You can't just hand it all to, you know, young academic Martin Cousins, get on and do it. Oh, my goodness, your students are failing. That's Martin Cousins' fault. It's not anything like that. It's much more complicated. So we're looking, engaging with that complexity and looking, as I say, about those four big domains, but also looking at the detail as well.
Brilliant. Well, we look forward to hearing more, Nigel, when that research comes to an end and you've got some more insights to share. But thanks for giving us a kind of preview and a look at what you're working on. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I'm very keen to get involved with the fieldwork. You know, when stuff starts being pushed out to institutions, companies and colleges and universities, how they respond and whether it's a framework that they can take, use, and ultimately remotivate students. That's the aim. Anyway, Martin, it's always a pleasure to talk, as you know.
Thanks, Nigel.
From scratch.